Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up November 4th through the 6th in Colorado. So call us today at 1-800-49-PURITY or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad that you've decided to join us. My name is Jonathan Doherty, and I'm here with Steven Cervantes. How are you doing this morning?
I am great. Thank you very much for asking.
Awesome. Well, before we dive in, I just want to let you listeners know, as we do periodically, that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and all that means is that the only way that you're hearing my voice and Steven's voice is because we've had generous partners that have come alongside and donated to our ministry here so that we can distribute this podcast out to listeners in over 80 countries around the world. And if you would like to come along and partner with us so that we can reach even more with the good news of the gospel of Jesus, please go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate link to learn how you can come alongside and partner with us.
Thank you.
So, Steven, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about.
That is good. I've been listening to guys at men's retreats for a long time, and I keep trying to figure out, how do you put all the pieces? See, here's what I believe. Everybody is knowable. Everybody is predictable. Everybody is repetitive. And so if you want to know someone, just listen. Just listen to what they say, watch what they do, and people are very predictable. Have you noticed that funny people are always funny, and sad people are always sad, and angry people are always angry? You know, angry people don't become full of grace the next day and then full of humor the next day. We don't change much, right? And so one of my questions is, how did we define ourselves? What did we decide our identity was going to be? Because it was formed early as a child in some context. We weren't just sat on a rock and said, okay, look around and make yourself into whatever you want. No, we grew up in relationship to older people, our parents, who had strengths and weaknesses. And from that, we developed an identity. And if you don't review your beliefs about yourself in adulthood, you can carry childhood beliefs of identity all the way till you die.
Well, what
do you think about that?
That's kind of a downer,
But it's very true.
It is true. And as you're saying that, one of the things that immediately came to my mind, and I don't know if this connects with what necessarily
sure,
with what you're saying.
Sure, we're just going to have a conversation.
But the thing that came to my mind was how, you know, a 40 or 50-year-old man or woman, when they if they haven't done what you're talking about, if they haven't really reflected on their identity, if they haven't dealt with these kinds of things in their adulthood, when they get back into the presence of their parents, it's like you can see them become seven again.
That's
like
true.
They're still the kid in their relationship with their parents.
And the order is the same when the kids come back. The baby's the baby, mm-hmm. and the older one's the older one. It's like
they all go right back into their roles in that that dynamic.
You know, and you can hear identity if you listen. Someone will say, "I'm not very smart," or "I'm not very neat or orderly," or you know, "I'm not good at school." You know, and I think to myself, the thing about school is just don't quit. How do you graduate from college? You just don't quit. That's it. That's it. Plain and simple. Keep going. Plug away. Get a tutor. Get some help. Take an alternate class. Don't quit. Just don't quit. But people believe, "Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not smart." It's like the stuff that you learned as a child, as an adult, we have great skills and resources and possibility. But if you run a poor identity belief, you're going to limit yourself all your life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to use the resources that Be Broken Ministry has for people that got caught up in. Look, some of us are raised in terrible homes. I mean, there's alcoholism, there's anger, there's abandonment. People say, "Well, I was just left in my room. I just came up my own entertainment. I just figured out life on my own."
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you believe about yourself? You're not worth knowing. Some people believe, "I'm not worth knowing. I'm not like other people. I'm not good."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting because as you were saying that, I was thinking about, and forgive me if I'm calling you out on this.
But, go for it.
But when you were mentioning about the person that's saying, "You know, I'm not smart," it's interesting to me when you've talked about your history and you've talked about, you know, "Hey, listen, I wasn't that smart as a kid," or whatever. But then to see you now and see how you have, you're like one of the most aggressive learners I know in my life today. I mean, you devour books. You're always looking to talk to people. You're like a sponge. You want to absorb what people are thinking, and you want to have debates and dialogues. And so to me, it's like you've broken out of that original mold that you thought was who you are.
Wow, this is interesting because you're really touching me in this conversation, you know?
So, but I think that's a great example of what you're talking about. You know, listen, you grew up in a dynamic in your home and in just your culture or whatever that you had a certain thought about yourself regarding how smart you were. And that's different from, I think, how you see yourself today. You're like, I mean, you just even said it. How do you do it? Don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep going. And you've plugged away. You've absorbed. You've learned. You've grown. And I would even go so far as to say today, you're considered by many in this field in particular, and especially in the field of marriage, as an expert. You don't get there by being dumb.
Right.
So that may just be a little snapshot of a real life example.
So now I have to talk because that's right. And I think I have some ADD. I don't learn quite like other people learned. I could watch the guy next to me and he'd read, and man, he'd be turning his pages and I'm reading the same page over and over going, "What are they saying here?" You know, and the person in front of me, they remember everything. It's like, "I can't remember. What was the deal?" And I'm, you know what I mean? I'm looking all around me and everybody's brain is very different. And so it's like you have to literally learn your own brain and how to use your own brain as part of what we're talking about to be more successful in life.
Mm-hmm. Because I think this idea of identity, you know, so many times we make that just this completely intangible thing.
Yes, yes.
But the fact, you mentioned the brain. I do think that's part of it, of understanding your identity. We are physical, emotional, and spiritual beings. And so too many times when we have the conversation about identity, we just dismiss the biological. We dismiss the
so you
way
say
you're...
we're spiritual, but we forget that we're really biological too. What do you say?
Well, I think with identity, we immediately go to almost these intangible concepts of like, okay, your spiritual makeup and your giftings and your personality.
Yeah.
But the thing is, those are all contained within this body.
Right.
So there is a
brain.
And
there's another part of the story too, right? Yeah. You're talking about biology and some history.
Yeah. I'm talking about, I think if you talked about the issue of, let's say, personality, that's not disconnected from your body.
That's right.
You know, I mean, my brain is wired a certain way. And then, so the way that I connect with the environment around me, the way that I connect with people, that's very much connected to my biology, even though I have a very different personality from you, you know? So, because you're not only a different person, but you have different biology, a different emotional makeup, a different history, a different brain.
That's right. Yeah, so good. So we gave you the answer to begin with. If you would like to make a change in your life, just don't quit. Mm-hmm. Okay? So I'm reviewing here for a moment. Work on the change and keep working on the change and never quit working on the change, and you will end up somewhere different. Right? Mm-hmm. So you know, this belief, it's interesting because belief drives the need to play a role in life, in my mind. Okay, and I'm just going to use myself since you already started. Thank you, Jonathan. You know, my role in life is to be a pleaser. I want everybody to be pleased. I want to be liked because that makes me feel valued. Mm-hmm. And so there's the workers, and then there's the logical people that figure out things. And there are people that are lost. Their identity is their loss. They can't figure anything out, you know? But what role would you say that if you took on a role to make life work for you, what role would you say you took on?
Leader.
Leader. Okay. So you're going to have ideas and you're going to give a direction and,
now that's
and answer things.
Some of that is the politically correct way to say controller.
Okay. So you're going to be, that was good, Jonathan. So your emotional way to deal with life is to be in control.
Yeah.
Right. To mm-hmm. manage a situation, right?
There's a sense of, for me, you know, you talked about you want people to be pleased. You want people. For me, it's this sense of there's got to be order to this.
That is perfect.
Let's not have chaos. We need to have order here, and I'm going to be the one to put it in order.
You know? Are the order guy, and it works, and it flows, and everything works really good because you order things, you know? And it's the world needs all of us, right? Because if everybody's pleased, but there's no order, that's crap. That's bad, you know? But first you got to find your identity. You have to figure out what your role is, mm-hmm. because you can back up your identity from your role, right? And you have to be the answer guy or the fixer guy, or you the controlling guy or the funny guy or the acting out of control guy or the lost guy. I mean, you can think about all these roles that people play. And I say lost because some people, you talk to them, they go, I don't know. I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, their answer is everything. I don't know. I don't know. It's like, that's a lost person. They just never figured out life much, and they play lost, you know? So you can go read about different personality types and all that. But the point is, when we have poor identity, we play a role, and we play it all the time, mm-hmm. right? So when can I not be the pleaser? Never. Mm-hmm. When can you not be in controlling things? Never, right? Because it's not restful just to back off your role. Your role gives you power and tells you what to do.
And in many ways, it's how we learn to feel safe.
Yes, absolutely.
Is in that role.
It's how we go through life, how we order everything, right? Mm-hmm. Wherever we go. When Jonathan shows up, there is order. When I show up, everybody's nice and getting along, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how we go through life. It makes us feel safe. It makes us feel valued. But we have to back up from our role and realize our role is not our identity.
Right.
Our role is what we picked up as kids to do to survive life mm-hmm. so that we're ultimately loved. Because behind these roles are kids that don't feel very loved.
Yeah.
And so we have to act a certain way so we can go get love from people because we just don't feel very lovable.
So then the challenge that I see is how then does a person sort of understand the distinction between their role and their identity? because they've probably just been so smooshed together.
Yes.
They don't see any difference. Like, for, I know for a long time, I didn't see my personhood, my identity as separate from just being a leader, just being the guy that sets things right.
Yes, that's
and
right.
So it's taken a long time. I'm still on this journey of being able to be able to know that who I am is not that role.
That's right. That's exactly where we're going. That's perfect.
And it's a challenge because when you've lived that for so long in that role, that's where you found your security, that's where you found your safety, it's hard to find the place where your identity and your worth and your value is known separate from that.
Or that, yes, that you know it and you can find it in other ways, yeah. Right? Because...
in other words, that I can be at peace,
yes,
when I am not leading, when I am not in control.
And that's the growth challenge for you, right? Mm-hmm. And the growth challenge for me is when people are not pleased with me to realize my identity is in Christ. Mm-hmm. My worth comes from Christ, not from another human being saying, oh, you're good. Oh, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're bad. Oh, I'm unhappy, right? Because you have all the power because I'm playing this role, mm-hmm. and if my role works, I'm good, I'm loved. But if my role doesn't work, darn, you know, yeah. Things are out of control, it must be bad. So you ask a great question. How do you separate the two? You have to think back. When you were a child, how was life rough? And what solution did you come up with, right? Because you can see the solution. It's easy. We're walking those out, right? But we don't always go back and go, let me think about, it was hard growing up. I was left alone a lot. You know, I was thinking about this. Who teaches you how to be emotionally healthy? And I was even thinking, who teaches us how to talk? Because some people really know how to talk good. And mm-hmm. some people go, wow, you are like retarded and you're talking. How come nobody taught you how to really talk well? Mm-hmm. You know? Well, they weren't around healthy people. Right? And so they weren't trained well. Retarded means slow in development. Why haven't you finished growing up in your talking? Why are you still stuck back in your development? Mm-hmm. So you and it's like they never got the opportunity and they didn't slow down and work on a growth mission and do what we said the solution is, work and don't quit. Mm-hmm. Work on growth. And never quit. And if you know this is a weakness, you can't make your role your whole life, right? Because it's too fickle.
Mm-hmm. So how do we help people tap more into that identity? Because, you know, you stated it in saying, well, listen, I need to know that my worth and my value comes from me being in Christ. But sometimes that immediately creates a disconnect in people's minds because they right. go, what does that look like? What does that mean? How do I actually embrace that? How do I actually, and if I could put it this way, how do I actually feel that and yes. know that?
No, that's good. I'm glad. So a lot of childhood stuff is painful, mm-hmm. right? And our identity that we created, our belief about ourselves was, I'm not very good. Or I'm not like other people, or I'm not smart, or I'm not strong, or I'm not fast, or I'm not athletic, you know? And so our identity becomes something we're not. Mm. And then we go to try to prove something we are, right? And so you have to get to the point where you go back and you look at that little child as an adult now. And you speak truth to that child because the program still believes what it's always believed. That's why you have to act the way you act. Mm-hmm. And until you go back and remind yourself, my identity comes from who made me. I'm made in the image of God, right? Mm-hmm. God knows what's going on. God made me. He made me for a purpose. He loves me. You know, and if you have any kind of physical handicap, he loves you just the way you are. Mm-hmm. You know, people go, I wish I was like, it's like God wants all kinds of variety in creation. He doesn't want everybody the same. Mm-hmm. So whatever strength you have, he loves, and whatever weakness you have, he loves.
And the thing is, you know, as I'm thinking about that, you know, when you talked about how we end up in our childhood and in our brokenness and our pain, we begin to create an identity around what we are not.
Yes.
And I love the fact that when we go into the scriptures and we go into what God says about who we are, it is about what we are, not about what we're not. You know,
give me an example.
You are a beloved child of God.
That's good.
You are mine.
I am chosen.
You are always with me. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It's like you belong. You are here.
Yes.
You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knew you before the foundation of the world. It's like
listen to what Jonathan's saying right now. I want you to do a little bit more. Just repeat what you just said. Listen to what he's saying because he's speaking the truth about your identity. And there are people listening to us that have feel bad, only feel bad. I was at a seminar once, and this lady came up to the speaker and said, I'm glad you told me I was supposed to really love myself and enjoy myself. I thought I was supposed to hate myself. Mm. I'm 80 years old, and I thought I was supposed to hate myself. Mm. Well, you know, that's part of the identity. I'm bad. I'm wrong. I'm not good, you know, and we cannot like what's not good. That's sort of bad English, but you understand we could hate what's not good, mm-hmm. right? And so we could hate ourselves even.
And if you know what the scriptures say from the very beginning, he looked at man and woman and he said, this is very good. So it wasn't just good. It was very good.
You are good. Receive this blessing.
You're beloved.
You are his beloved. You are chosen.
You are worth redeeming.
Wow. The redemption covers you. It's for you. Let it go inside you.
You are the one sheep that he's willing to leave the 99 for to go find.
You're one of his sheep. You're his sheep. You belong to him. And if you're ever lost, he's coming for you.
You are known and still loved.
Oh, he knows you. He knows you completely. He knew from the beginning your shortcomings, your failings, and he still picks you and he still loves you.
And I'll say it again. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are made exactly. Your body, your mind, your heart, everything about you is made exactly to your Creator's specifications for you. There's not a single mistake in you.
So he wants you in his kingdom, in his collection of all people that choose to worship him. He don't want one that all look alike, and nobody looks alike, and nobody is alike. He wants you, your strengths and your weaknesses, to one day be with him for all eternity, to sing his praises. He wants you in his company.
You know, Stephen, I would like to invite the listeners, for anybody who's had a breakthrough right now, if you've had an insight, if you've had this moment where there's been a transition that has occurred from maybe you did have an identity that was self-loathing and that was like this woman that Stephen's talking about that for so many years thought I was supposed to hate myself. I thought I was supposed to beat myself up. If you've had a transition from that to maybe beginning to discover that you are worth loving, that you are worth knowing, that you are worth being in the kingdom of God, that if you would want to share that with us, we would love to hear how God has maybe started that transition in your mind of you understanding your new identity and that it's not connected to your role. It's not based on what you do or have done or even will do in the future, that it's completely independent and it is true no matter what your circumstances are.
And if it blessed you, what we just said, and that was the whole purpose, we want it to bless you, we hope it blesses you.
Yeah.
Replay it several times and let it go deep within you, because we're not just playing here, making up words, trying to be popular, funny guys with interesting things to say. We want to change lives, and that's what we think we're called to do. And so if these words bless you, we give God the glory.
And if you would like to tell us about that, you can go to the website at puresexradio.com and click on the contact link and let us know. So, Stephen, we've got about 5 minutes here, and I want to just see where we can maybe help our listeners even further as we close out this podcast.
Well, heck, where do I go from here? So we've been talking about your identity is that your identity is developed in a child's mind, okay? And then we never revisit it again. And then we pick our role, we play our role, and we have to realize our roles have limits, and that's not who he made us to be. We have to go back to our childhood and be honest. And I'll tell you, it's really hard for some people to be honest about their parents' strengths and weaknesses. Because they say, well, I came from a Christian home. I came from a good home. But then you talk to them and like, Dad was at church all the time, but he wasn't playing ball with me. He never, you know, he was at work and gone, and he was a leader, but he never talked to me, you know. And I'm his son, and boy, he helped a lot of people, and he was gone from the house all the time, but he never came home to spend time with me, right? I mean, so I'm not bashing Christians. I mean, it's great, but that's only part, right? You got to get spiritual health and emotional health working, because you can be great spiritually, but then you could be emotionally delayed, or you could be great emotionally, but you got no spirit, you got no depth to you.
Well, and that's why I like one of the notes that you have written here, that this whole idea of a new identity, it's a head and a heart thing. And sometimes we just keep those things disconnected. And so a lot of times what happens is you have, especially in these Christian homes, there's a whole lot of what we might call head knowledge, where we've got all of the truth or the facts about what is true. And we carry that in our head. And a lot of times this is where we even can form some of our roles, right? Okay, well, I know that, you know, I know that this is true, that I'm supposed to be this selfless, sacrificing, serving Christian. So, hey, you know what? The fact that I'm totally struggling with pornography and sexual feelings and all that, well, obviously I can't talk about that. I've just got to have this persona that is this, that looks like the perfect little Christian, instead of, wait a second, there's a heart thing to this too, that says, are you willing to get down into the messiness of where you're really struggling, where you're broken, where you need to know your identity at a deep level, so that when you feel this tension between right and wrong in your life, you don't drown and then just become, you know, this person who thinks that your only value is the role that you bring to other people.
Yeah.
You have to be able to say, listen.
And then you feel like a fake because I'm doing my role. I'm doing my role. But the roles never satisfy you deeply. Playing your role never really was designed. It's an attempt to be loved, but it never goes deep enough. So people like you and you create order and that's nice, but it doesn't make you feel loved back in, you know, in pain places.
And I want to close with this, because we've talked about our stories a little bit in terms of how I lead or control or whatever, and you want to be a pleaser. And isn't it neat, though, when, because I do believe that you and I have discovered our center, understanding our identity. We know that we are who we are in Christ, and therefore that's an unshakable part of who we are.
But we love our little boys too.
We
right?
do.
Our
we
little
do.
Boy parts, you're saying, because I hear the spiritual and you're saying emotional too, right?
Yeah. But what I wanted to say is, doesn't it change then the dynamic of how you play your role? Because see, now if you know who you are in Christ and you go in and you still want to please people.
Yes.
You're pleasing them from a different paradigm than saying, oh, this is about me feeling filled up and I've got to feel like I'm worth something, so I better please.
Yes.
You're pleasing them as somebody who says, actually, I know who I am and this is how I'm wired, and it's okay to want to be entertaining and please people.
Yes, but I please my Father, my identity. Yeah. I ultimately am pleasing to Him and He loves me deeply, and so I rest in that. And then we're bent a certain way, so we keep doing our roles. We never stop playing our roles, like we don't need them anymore. They're great, useful tools, but they're not our identity.
And that's the difference, is once you have your center in Christ, then you can act out your role. You can play to what you are designed best to do without it being the thing that on which your identity and your worth hinges. I'm able to go in and lead, and I'm able to go in and make order out of chaos, not because everything about my worth is going to hinge on whether or not that happens, but because, hey, I'm wired that way. So yes. Folks, if you'd like to explore more deeply some things that about how you're wired and how you can be more centered in your identity, please contact us. We'd love to help you on your journey.
Don't quit.
And we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.